up and smell the awareness. This is going to be a series of talks all about meditation. How many of you are practicing meditators? Raise your hand. A lot of people. So if you're not practicing in any formal meditation practice, I hope as an outcome of these talks that you'll consider meditation as integral to your spiritual journey. So Jane's right now on her way home. I just wanted to mention that she's in Boulder, Colorado, and just finishing up her 11 o'clock talk, probably about now. And she's on her way home. She was there presenting the Q process there at that ministry, and so she'll be back this afternoon. Anyway, so the idea of meditation is really a cornerstone in unity and new thought. It's been a part of our theology and our practice. But meditation is such a broad and huge arena because there's so many approaches or methodologies with respect to meditation. And so I can't speak to it all, and I can't speak to all the complexities, the different practices, but I do want to focus on Dr. Joe Dispenza's approach to meditation practice and why it's so integral to anyone who's interested in transforming your life. As Heidi had expressed, this whole struggle of being able to really work your life from the inside out as opposed to from the outside in is really the effort that is the effort of transforming our life. We have to arrive at a place where we take ownership of how we're living our life. And if we're reacting to our life, guess what? Our reaction to life is our life. So however we're being with what we're having becomes our life. And so if we're not being with what we're having out of a place of empowerment, out of a place of knowing that we can decide how we're going to use what we're having, and if we don't know that, then we believe that what we're having is our reality, is our life. And it's important for us to know that our life experience is an effect of a creative process. And so we either deal with the effects of our life or we deal with the source or cause. And so that's where we're going in all this. And so for those of you who are involved in some form of meditation practice, you're really engaged in developing or activating a dimension of yourself that's immaterial, that has nothing to do with the outer. And so to begin to cultivate a relationship with a dimension of yourself that is neither here nor there, but everywhere, is an important thing to understand. And as we look at all of the great traditions, meditation has been integral to the mystical traditions, to the contemplative traditions, to the indigenous shamanic traditions. There is a depth of capacity that we can achieve when we spend the effort and energy in focusing on developing ourselves. And if we think about the lost years of Jesus, what do you think he did between the ages of 12 and 30? Well, we can imagine that he made his way to India and learned all of the techniques that the Hindus could teach him. And so if we want to believe stories about Jesus walking on the water, let's believe stories they learned how to do that. And let's also know that when he said, even the things that I do, the greater things that you can do, he's trying to tell us that we can learn how to do stuff that can transform our life. But we have to invest ourselves in the dimension of being where those capacities reside. And that is not in the effect, but in the cause, in the dimension of ourself that is here to co-create a reality that works for everyone. So I've been fortunate enough in my journey to have the benefit of great teachers. So here's a picture of Joseph Goldstein and Jack Kornfield. They're insight meditation teachers, and I sat with them as my meditation teachers for a number of years. And in the early 80s, I became a Vipassana meditation practitioner, and I spent 20 years involved in that tradition. And I've found that meditation has been integral to really developing a sensitivity to that part of ourself that is capable of becoming aware of our thoughts and aware of our beliefs. Do you know that you can become aware of your thoughts and your beliefs? and that if you pay attention to those things, you'll realize that your thoughts and beliefs are affecting how you're being with what you're having. And as you're able to see that relationship, you're able to intervene. You're able to decide how you want to be with what's happening in your life, as opposed to let what's happening in your life determine how you should feel. And so when we recognize that we have these capacities, or at least they're capacities that we can develop, then we need to be engaging into the effort that unfolds our effort and energy into those dimensions. One of the things that I'm really attracted and drawn to Dr. Joe's material is because of his story. How many of you are familiar with Dr. Joe Dispenza and his story? So he's a chiropractor. He was a chiropractor in Olympia, Washington, and he experienced an accident. He had an accident. He was not into any of his stuff that we all know Dr. Joe's involved in. There was nothing like that before this event. And here's a video that describes in his own words what has happened to him. And this is why I'm attracted to this person's story and his teaching.
In order for some of us to wake up,
sound.
Wake up call. And in 1986, I got the call. I was in a triathlon in Palm Springs, California, and I was in the biking portion of the race. And I was coming up to this intersection, so as I made the turn, a four-wheel drive Bronco going about 55 miles an hour hit me from behind and catapulted me out of my bicycle. The compressive force compressed 6 vertebrae in my spine. The prognosis was I'd probably never walk again, and that I needed a radical surgery called the Harrington Rod surgery. If this had been anybody else, I probably would have recommended that they have surgery, but this was me. I decided to check out of the hospital, and I just had this one thought, and the thought was the power that made the body heals the body. So I would start off in my mind reconstructing my spine vertebrae per vertebrae, and then I'd start thinking about living in a wheelchair. So for 6 weeks, I went through this incredible dark night of the soul because I couldn't really get my mind to do what I wanted it to do. And it would take me about 3 hours closing my eyes and reconstructing every single vertebrae. I'm starting over again every time I lost my attention. At the end of 6 weeks, I went through the whole entire process without losing my attention. And it was like I hit a tennis ball in a sweet spot. Something clicked in that moment. I clicked. I started noticing significant changes in my body. My motor function started coming back, and my body began to change dramatically. And I was back on my feet in 10 weeks, and back training again in 12 weeks, and I just made a deal with myself. And the deal was that if I was ever able to walk again, I'd spend the rest of my life studying the mind-body connection and mind over matter. Pretty much that's what I've been doing since 1986.
So he had an accident, and he reconstructed his spine, his vertebrae, with thought alone. It took him 10 weeks. And then the next thing that he did, he spent the rest of his life documenting what he's discovered and how to use the mind in a way to really actualize all the human potential that we possess. And what greater manifestation could we look at as his own personal healing, and then him making all of his effort to really understand the relationship between the mind and the body and how we co-create our own personal reality. And when Jane and I first came here to the Unity Spiritual Center in Spokane, we came knowing of Dr. Joe, and we began using his books for book studies here at the church. And then when I became sick, with cancer, and so we naturally went to Dr. Joe and actually began to become his students officially to help give me the capacity to work with my illness as well. And so I have an affinity for Dr. Joe because of his capacity to be very clear in being able to understand the science as well as the effort that's needed to actually transform one's life. And when we recognize that any transformation that takes place in the context of a different mental context for how we're having our life. In other words, there's a new mind that has to come forth because the old mind that creates our current life conditions has to be upgraded, right? For there to be a different life. And so what constitutes an upgrade that enables us to have a different life experience? Well, part of that upgrade means that we have to make different choices, wouldn't you think? Makes perfect sense. If we're going to have a different life, we have to have different life experiences. And in order for us to have different life experiences, we have to have a different context for how we're having our life. Because if we're having our life as if it's against us, then we're living in a context of victimhood. And that's a very difficult thing to wiggle ourselves out of just by rearranging the decks, the chairs of the decks, the chairs of the, on the deck of the Titanic. That's what I was trying to say. We try to rearrange the deck chairs. That's, in other words, the things in our life, as opposed to really work and deal with the source of our discomfort, and that is some place within ourselves is living in the disconnect. And so our effort to kind of resolve the issue of how is it that we have aspirations for a greater good but have such difficulty extricating ourselves out of our past or out of our self-imposed limitations, you know, the difficulty that that is to kind of just be over it, get over it, requires of us having to come up with a different consciousness out of which we live and unfold our life. Remember, how you react to your life is your life. And wouldn't it be valuable for us if we have some discomfort in our life to be able to see that we have the capacity to transform it? And what if there was a fast track to transforming our life that required of us first a commitment to really understand how we create our own personal reality? And then once we learn how it is that we actually are creating the life that we have, God bless you, if we can actually learn the mechanism of how our life gets to become what it is in our life, then we can be in the question, well, is there a greater life that I want to live and bring forth? Because if that question is yes, then the natural, logical question is, well, what's the science behind it? What are the steps that actually align myself with working with the whole system? I just can't work with my thoughts. I have to work with my body chemistry as well. And so as we recognize that meditation gives us a capacity to develop our capacity to decide how we're going to be with what we're having. Just imagine that. What if you had the capability of deciding how you're going to be with whatever you're having as your life? Wouldn't you want to be with it in such a way as you make whatever you're having your abundance? That's possible, you know. It's just a matter of how you're going to be with whatever it is you're having. You have to decide that. Now, obviously, it's a lot more complicated than just deciding I'm going to be with this, because part of the being with something has to be in alignment with thought, feeling, with effort, with the energy of what we're trying to co-create as a part of what we're wanting to bring forth in our life. So there's more intentionality, more understanding than just knowing that we can transform our life. We have to have activated the parts of ourselves that can be with whatever we're having without feeling diminished. And that's not something that you can just talk yourself into. You actually have to have a practice that enables that capacity. But with practice, you can develop a capacity to be with whatever you're having as if it's your abundance. And wouldn't we all want to have that capacity? And could we not see that if we all had that capacity, our world would be a safer, kinder place? So let's look now at a very important principle that Dr. Joe articulates exquisitely. Is that the right word for that? Exquisitely. I'm just going to let him speak for himself. All right, it's all about when the body becomes the mind.
And so when you have an emotional reaction to someone or something, most people think that they can't control their emotional reaction. Well, it turns out if you allow that emotional reaction to last for hours or days, that's called a mood. If you keep that same emotional reaction going on for weeks or months, that's called temperament. And if you keep that same emotional reaction going on for years on end, that's called a personality trait. And so learning how to shorten the refractory period of emotional reactions is really where the work starts. So then you say to the person, why are you this way? And they'll say, I am this way because of this event that happened to me 15 or 20 years ago. And what that means from a biological standpoint is that they haven't been able to change since that event. So then the emotions from the experience tend to give the body and the brain a rush of energy. So people become addicted to the rush of those emotions, and they use the problems and conditions in their life to reaffirm their limitation, so at least they can feel something. So then the hardest part about change is not making the same choice as you did the day before, period. And the moment you decide to make a different choice, get ready, because it's going to feel uncomfortable. So now, when it comes time for change, the person steps into that river of change and they make a different choice, and all of a sudden, they don't feel the same way. So the body says, well, you've been doing this for 35 years, you're gonna just stop feeling suffering and stop feeling guilty and stop feeling shameful, and you're not gonna complain or blame or make excuses or feel sorry for yourself. Well, the body's in the unknown. So the body says, I wanna return back to familiar territory. So the body starts influencing the mind, and it says, start tomorrow. Too much like your mother, you'll never change. This isn't gonna work for you. This doesn't feel right. And so if you respond to that thought as if it's true, that same thought will lead to the same choice, which will lead to the same behavior, which will create the same experience, which will produce the same emotion. In a sense, if you're sitting down and you start thinking of...
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Sorry, folks. This happened last service, too.
Did it?
Yeah, it did. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to get this thing going to here. So let's just say he lands on this, the idea that we create our own personal reality, that the body-mind is this, as we can describe it, are these circuits of our habits of being, our habits of doing, our habits of having, our habits of feeling, our habits of believing, and our habits of perceiving. This is the unconscious body-mind. And when we're living and being run by these habits, then we're sort of encapsulated in our own self system and trying to manage our outer life by rearranging the deck chairs, so to speak. I got that one right. Okay, and so as we look at this circuit, how we're having our life is constituted by how we're being with what's happening in our world and how we're having our life experience. And so most of us have our life against us. That's our default mode. And in part, that's the way the brain is structured, as Jane talked about last Sunday, about the default mode network, about this negativity bias. And so if we understand that our unconscious conditions, body-mind, is going to always have our life as if it's against us, we have to override that circuitry if we're going to break through and experience something greater. The bottom circuits are our proof, our rationale, our story as to how we're having our life. And as Dr. Joe talks about mood and temperament and personality that gets generated over us dwelling in these emotional states over long periods of time, we have to extricate ourselves out of that system if we're to transform our life or if we're to step into a moment of being with what we're having that is not conditioned by our past. And so in a sense, if we think about meditation as being able to help us override this circuitry, these habits of being, then we can see that there's value in being able to develop a dimension of ourself that can operate independently of these circuits. That's the idea. At least that's the story I'm making up about what I like Dr. Joe's material. Because it gives me a very concrete, specific focus on what I'm trying to do when I'm sitting in meditation. I'm trying to recondition a part of my circuitry that is living in the past. I want to bring it out of that experience of the past and begin to actualize these circuits in a different way. So let us just say, in his words, he calls it reconditioning the body to a new mind. So let's think about that for a second. The body is the circuits, as I just showed you the slide before. Think of your body. While we think of our body as a physical thing, it's also a neurological thing. It's also a psychological thing. It's also a biological, a chemical, electrical thing. And all of the things that we are make up the circuits of our self system that we have to work with if we are to transform our life. Otherwise, we just live in the past. And so the reconditioning of our body to a new mind means that we have to recondition what our body has been conditioned to feel and think when we are stimulated by an uncomfortable or difficult situation where heretofore our conditioning and program has this situation against me. And so I don't even get to think about it. I just immediately react. And so you have experiences in your life where that's the way it is. Something happens in your life and you're off. You're off your game. You're triggered. And so we have to begin to recondition this body to feel a different experience in the presence of the same trigger. If we were to have a different experience, we have to retrain our body how we're going to be when something doesn't look right out there. We have to retrain our body as to how we're going to be when we don't have all the pieces of information that satisfies what's next. We have to compensate for what's missing in the outer by giving ourselves what the inward self needs in order to awaken into a greater capacity. So the recondition of the body means that we have to retrain these circuits in order for us to have a different felt experience and be able to have autonomy independent of what's happening in our environment, what's happening outside of ourselves. And in addition to this, we have to have a new mind. We have to have a different context for how we're going to be informing our journey, our effort to move each day forward, because our response to life is our life. We have to have a different mind, a different context, a sense of purpose and passion for something that is going to pull us out of our story, out of our past. If we don't have that, we are still just trying to meditate, hoping that a blissful state will carry us away. And for 30 years, that's the way, the kind of meditation practice I thought was it. So if in the reconditioning of the circuits of our self system requires of us to have a different version of ourself kind of in the queue, pardon the pun, in order for us to have that, we have to have what, well, it's the next slide, I'll come back to this. We have to have a sense of being defined by a vision of the future. Can you see how important that is to being pulled out of your own self? So our own self, we cannot use ourselves to pull ourselves out of it. We have to use a dimension of ourself that is not tethered to our story or our past, because those voices will be still activated if that's the case. So we have to be able to come at this effort of reconditioning our body to a new mind by, let me go back to these circuits now, this other slide. Where are we? There we go. Almost done, sweetheart. So if we think about the habits of being, doing, and having as being the circuits that define how we're having our life, then we have to create a different kind of context for how we're going to have our life. So we have to be pulled by a vision of our future. We have to have a clear sense of what our future self needs to be feeling and what our future self needs to be beholding as its reality, and project that onto what we're having as our life. And so when we enter into the process of reconditioning the circuits, this is what we have to be able to work. We have to have a sense of what is our authentic being. And being, our state of being, is alignment with thoughts and feelings. And so as we align our thoughts and feelings with a passion for what we're wanting to create for our future self, that begins the condition of the other circuits to begin to consciously decide how we're going to be with what we're having. Knowing that what we're having is for us begins to condition our life as if it's always a blessing unto ourselves. And that begins to change what's going on inside of our head when we have the cognitive dissonance of a belief that we're not good enough. We enter into the intentionality of seeing, okay, that belief came from someplace. It's not the truth of me. It's not who I am. I can switch that off by discovering what I want to be in this present moment and deciding to go all in on that. And so as we get into this idea of being pulled by a vision of our future so that we can step out of our predictable past, we have to have techniques, we have to have skills, we have to manage our attention and awareness. We cannot afford to allow a thought of limitation enter into our consciousness unknowingly, unconsciously. We have to be able to catch it and see how it has created an aspect of our life that is working against us, and so we can see the causal chain. We have to be able to connect those dots of our creative process. And we can't do that deeper work until we have a practice that helps us focus our attention not on ourself, not on our body, not on our identity, not on our stuff, not on any aspect of time or place. We have to be able to focus our attention on something that is not tethered to the outer so that we can begin to actualize the part of our essence that is here to be unto our life a lamp or a light. And so I'll leave you with this next announcement, and that is Dr. Joe has created such a huge body of work that is basically conveyed in the context of his books and his audio CDs. And when I talk about Dr. Joe's meditation, I'm talking about listening to a recorded guided meditation. Now that's different than having a sitting practice where you're just either following your breath or doing loving kindness or having choiceless open awareness. This is actually listening, and the activity of listening is a part of the science behind transformation. The music that's played, as well as the way Dr. Joe facilitates how your attention and awareness is directed, is all a part of the science that's been created to help you exercise the muscles of your attention and awareness so that you don't believe ever again that you can have a situation and that you have to let that situation control how you're going to be. It gives you a sense of dominion over your life. And so I'm wanting to announce that we're going to be starting up beginning Monday, March 4th, every Monday until June. We're just going to try this out. We're going to start a Joe Dispenza meditation group. It's going to start at 5:30 in the morning to 7 a.m. in the chapel. Oh my God. And so it's so Dr. Joe's stuff is not meant for everybody. Actually, all of his stuff is quite difficult in the sense of it requires effort. And so there's not going to be any formal instruction. It's just that you're going to come at 5:30. The doors will be locked. So get in on time because we're going to be meditating. We're going to be listening to an audio meditation, and then we're going to, after it's complete, we'll be exiting. So there'll be different people in charge of the meeting, and each individual, such if it's myself, for instance, the first time, I will be playing a CD called Reconditioning Your Body to a New Mind, and we'll be listening to Dr. Joe as he with a five-minute introduction that explains why that meditation is a value, and then we'll listen to the meditation, and then when it's over, we'll leave. And the next person who comes and does that, they will have their own CD, and they will explain it. If there's a technique that needs an explanation, they'll talk about it, and then that'll happen. So it won't be necessarily a Dr. Joe content an information session, learning about his materials, but rather it's going to be a support group for those who are in Dr. Joe's community or are interested in his approach to come and start generating the energetic field of Dr. Joe's presence in our transformative journey. Finally, I will also offer some suggestions for those of you, bless you, who are using the Sunday talk as a part of your spirit group's discussion. So if you're new to meditation, sign up and attend Mary Teresa True's meditation class held each Wednesday evening in March, 6:30. So it doesn't matter what kind of practice you have. If you're new, just get into a practice, because the first part is just training your body to sit without falling asleep. So that's the first step. And practice sitting for 20 minutes in the silence twice a day if you can. If you have a meditation practice, share why you prefer it over the other methods you've experienced, just to have a conversation. It's always a nice conversation to have to discuss your journey with respect to meditation and all the different experiences that you've had. Watch Dr. Joe's YouTube videos on reconditioning the body to a new mind. They're out there, and there's a lot of good information there. All the videos that I pull out are online on YouTube. Experience Monday morning meditations. Monday meditations on YouTube. You can Google that, search it, and it's a sample of Dr. Joe's meditation that'll give you a sense of how it is. It's not the typical guided meditation. He'll ask you to become aware of the space in space. So he'll be helping you hang your awareness on things that have nothing to do with the normal things that you think about. All right, so that concludes my talk, and sorry it's a little bit too didactic for ending. There's no easy way other than to say, meditate. God bless. Thank you.